7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Oh, yeah. All systems are nominal. Hey, welcome, everybody. You are listening to Out and About, and you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. Also streaming from KYRS.org around the world. Welcome to a beautiful, sunny Out and About. And my gosh, you know, I don't think I've done burlesque on the radio yet. At least not intentionally. And I have with me the stars of an upcoming burlesque show, which is, not all the stars, I mean, but quite a few. So why don't we just go around and introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Muffy the Manslayer. I'm performing in the 9 p.m. show of this burlesque show this weekend, and I'm also the co-producer. I've been doing this since like 2022, 2023, I think.
I am Miss Masticate. I have been doing this for almost 10 years, and I will be in the 7 p.m. Showing at Witch Hunt, and I...
Hi, everyone. I'm Ravetta Moon. I just started in burlesque in actually October of 2025, but I'm not new to dance, not new to performing. I've been doing fusion belly dance since I was a little kid, but I'm also an Air Force veteran, and I'm also a Master of Social Work student. So really excited to be here.
Oh, my gosh. Fellow Air Force veteran.
I know.
How cool is that? Fusion belly dance. We'll have to circle back to that. But let's talk about what this show is. Witch Hunt. That's the name of it?
Yeah, Witch Hunt.
So tell me about it.
Yeah, so I've been thinking a lot about the current political climate we're in, not to immediately make art political, but that is kind of how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. And I think that in a lot of ways, we're seeing witch hunts of a kind happening on a national scale, the way that the federal government is targeting immigrants, trans people, the way that sexual assault survivors are being treated in regards to the Epstein files. Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think we've been thinking a lot as artists about our role in the current political climate and what we can do. And maybe we can create these fantasy worlds where the good guys win and the money goes to charity and sometimes the witches hunt back.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the idea for the show. It's like, what happens if all of these witches turn around and hunt the patriarchy, hunt the government that is targeting, you know, queer people, our friends, our neighbors, our community members. So there's like a political message at the heart of it, but also it is just a bunch of hot people shaking tail and taking their clothes off for a good cause.
Well, is it going to be kind of witch theme then? Or okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Ooh. Everybody's doing an act that's like a take on witches or spellcraft or devil worship. That's kind of the general theme.
Or women empowerment.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I don't want to spoil anything, but are there any cauldrons at all?
Yes, there is one cauldron. There's one cauldron in the 7 p.m. show, actually. Okay.
Awesome.
There's exactly one cauldron that I can guarantee.
Okay. So I know there's a cauldron club of Spokane out there that listens frequently. Oh. This will be your time to come in. Check out the cauldron.
It's please
a call,
come.
A call to
at
cauldrons.
At the 7 p.m. Yes. I think it's the very first act of the 7 p.m. show. So
oh
you
gosh.
Will get your cauldron pretty immediately.
Yeah, but stick around after that too, because, you know, you want to see the whole show. So let's talk. This is also a fundraiser. What are the charities that you're raising funds for?
Yeah, so we are raising money for Manzanita House, which provides legal defense for immigrants in need. And then there are also two other charities that we're raising money for. One of them does emergent financial need for immigrants and refugees. So like if your family member gets detained and you can't make rent, they would be able to help you with that or your utility bills. And the other charity provides survivor resources for people who have survived sexual assault or domestic violence situations.
Okay, very cool. And has that excited you two about doing this more, or would you be on board doing it anyways? Or
I think either way, but okay. It's always good to like feel like you're doing the thing that you really love to do to help somebody, because sometimes in this current climate you're like, what am I even doing? How am I even, I don't know, making any sort of difference in what is going on, besides doing what you can immediately do is be a good person, right?
Yeah.
But it's good to like be creative and feel like that's what you're doing, and then be like, okay, well, this is giving back and this is a way that helps, even if it feels like it's small, but it can always, in the day of and all those kinds of things, always feel so big. So
yeah,
and even though if it might feel small, I think that all of these things really add up. It's kind of like how Muffy was saying that art is inherently political, and putting it out there and actually saying it and then advertising it as a way, I think, to help our local community is really empowering and powerful for me. Like, I already love this art form, but to say that we're actually doing it, I think, is really, really special.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that, you know, there's going to be money raised, but I think just doing the art and that's a real form of resistance, just doing art and being, actually just being happy is a form of resistance right now, right? I mean,
it does feel a little silly when you're like rhinestoning your bra and you're listening to the news and you're like, well, you know, I just got to get this row of rhinestones right. But
yeah, well, you know, it's not a new thing for art to be involved right in the middle of a fascist regime. And sometimes those are the leaders that come out of running things too, you know?
I remember when I was in college, I took this Spanish class, and one of my favorite things that I learned about was in the resistance, the Chilean resistance to Pinochet, people would sew poetry into the inside of these just like, you know, bags that they would sell at the marketplace. But inside are all of these like poems of resistance that they were passing around to people. And this is like a burlesque show in a secret basement that used to be a bank vault. And in a way, it kind of feels, not to make it bigger than it is, but sometimes it feels like we're doing the same thing. It's like, this is a secret place. This is a art form based around, you know, nudity and like the freest possible expression. And to keep doing that in the face of censorship on a mass level and a government that isn't friendly towards women or queer bodies feels like a powerful thing to be doing.
Yeah.
And we're inviting people to come witness and be part of it, which I think makes it even bigger than it feels. Like when it's just us rehearsing or when we're together, it's a different energy when all of a sudden you see everybody there who's also seeing your message. Like, yeah. I'm very excited for Saturday, especially as I know as most of our shows are already almost sold out.
That is so cool. Well, you know, let's talk about the venue, but before we do that, let's just give people the stats. I mean, how do they see this show? How do they see Witch Hunt? How do they get tickets?
Yeah, so you can get tickets at bit.ly/witch-hunt, and that's in all caps. The caps do matter. If that's complicated for you, you can just search Muffy Manslayer or Cerebellum on Instagram, and we have the ticket link linked in our bio. I think it's also on the Inlander event calendar for this weekend, so you can go check out the Inlander event calendar, and it's linked there as well.
Cool. How did you all get into burlesque? What was the entry to that? How did you just sort of like to look interesting? I just back up a little bit. Looking at the names and kind of the vibe to me seems a lot like I'm reminding myself of roller derby in a way. You know, there is that kind of energy, I guess, at least. I don't know. So how did you guys come into this?
You want me to go first?
Yeah. Oh my
goodness.
You're the newest. So. Yeah.
It's so fun when you're staring at three other people with a mic and you're like, which one of us should go?
Yeah, I know. I should just go.
You know, I remember saying to somebody, oh, I would never wear pasties. Well, look at me now. I think it's really interesting how fast your perspectives can change. Yeah. Like I mentioned in the beginning that, I've been out of the Air Force for 2 years.
Oh, congratulations.
And I started pole dancing when I was in the Air Force, like a year before I left. And that was such a big deal that my boss was like, you might get an Article 15 for doing pole fitness. And I was like, sir, I know that you went to the gentleman's club with all the officers but me, and I am hurt. Well, that seemed to get me out of that Article 15.
Okay.
And it's really interesting that now looking how pole fitness almost brought me full circle into burlesque and performing. I don't think I intended to perform, but it felt so empowering to be witnessed in that way. It was so feminine. It was so empowering. I loved all the people I was dancing with, that energy of like, yes, queen. I don't know. And then I was doing fusion belly dance here in Spokane, and something just kept calling to me like, Olivia, it's time. Yeah. And I saw a poster for actually a vaudevillain's burlesque for auditions, and I was so scared to apply that I have ADHD. I mean, don't we all? And I saw this poster, and I auditioned with 2 hours to spare. And I somehow got in.
Yay!
And it's kind of been history. Like, I love this group. That was my introduction to them. And I just feel really at home with everybody here. And that's why I've continued.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I got started. I've just always been a part. Both my parents are like creative, and I did like a lot of creative things, but nothing like stuck. But when I was like a little kid, I would like make choreography in my head to stories and stuff like that. And then I kind of got into theater a little bit, but not. And then once I got to high school and like people had to be like serious about theater and if they were going to be there, I wasn't a singer or a dancer. And so I was not getting any of those roles. And and then I kind of realized that I didn't love memorizing lines and then putting them out there. I was like, if they could all just be in my mind, I'd probably be cool. But if I don't,
that's so boring to memorize lines.
Yeah.
boring. Yeah.
And so, I definitely like dabbled in a lot of like theater, stuff, but I was never any like big name theater kid at school. And then, I kind of just like went along to be an adult and, got to know the producer of Vaudevillains, Crystal Explosion. And I would just, she's a cocktail waitress, bartender by trade of regular job. And I got to know her at where she was working. And eventually she was like, and she knew that I sewed. I actually got really into sewing. I sewed my prom dress, and I was just like, my grandma had died and all of that was there, and I had all the supplies. So I just started taking on that form, and I was like working on cosplay and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then, eventually Crystal, I would talk to her about ideas when we were hanging out and whatnot. And, she was like, I want you to make me a burlesque costume. And I was like, what's burlesque? And she explained what it was. And I made her, like a costume back in like 2013. And then eventually, there's a big convention that happens in Seattle called BurleyCon, where you can go and learn everything during the day, and then you kind of have like little socials and stuff like that. And like, and she's like, you should come to this. And I went with her, and I was like, I'm just gonna take the costuming classes. And then I saw classes, like, I might as well go take those. And then they actually do this peer review, and I got to see a lot more than I was seeing in Spokane, like different perspectives and stuff. And I was kind of like, oh, I have so many ideas all of a sudden. And I was like, I think I'm gonna perform. So then eventually, like maybe 3 years down the road, I got on stage and performed. And then the rest is probably history. It probably takes over my life. It's like, I sew, I make as many of my costumes as possible. And then like, yeah. And then here I am almost 10 years later. And it's like crazy.
That's cool. I mean, it took you a while to get into it, fully into it. And then you're in.
Yeah. I think I definitely was like, no, I had somebody else who would always tell me, and she's like, you're going to perfect yourself out of ever doing it. And I was like, no. And she's, they're like, you are, I see it. Like, you just got to keep bugging people and like come up with things. So then I did. And then now it's like crazy. I feel like I'm an elder in the burlesque community. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I got into it from theater, actually. I was like directing and producing some shows. And if there's one thing about theater, it's that you rehearse for like 3 months and then you do a thing for a couple of nights and you make no money. Yes. And it can be really cool and powerful. And I still, you know, have a lot of love in my heart for theater. But there is something really special to be able to get to do all of the things. Like, I edit my own music. I pick my own storylines. I design my own costumes. I do my own choreography. And then at the end of it, I have a story that I have created, just me, from start to finish. And I get to perform that. And then I get to walk away with actual real money for a shorter process, a shorter performance timeline. And I get to feel like this was my creative vision. And like, I did this and I executed it. And I find that really fulfilling as an artist, where like with theater, you know, usually you're wearing one hat at a time. And so maybe you do a really great job acting, but you hate the costume you're wearing and you feel miserable the whole time. But that's not the case with burlesque, because you get to like make all those decisions yourself.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, I haven't done any theater now for a year, I think. I mean, because my wife had cancer. And so we're, you know, that kind of, that was what we've been doing. But, you know, what I really miss is, I like, every day I make stuff. Every day I'm making things, either writing, music, whatever, and then, or painting. And then, but it's all solitary pursuits. And I can see how you guys are also connected. And I miss that. I miss working with other people. When you do this, are you, each person just sort of responsible for their own act? And then whatever you do, you show up and you do the act?
I would say sometimes it kind of depends on productions. Vaudevillains is pretty, like, for the most part, likes to have, like, a big meeting. And maybe we all sit down and we talk about, like, maybe what the theme is going to be, where the dates are going to land, who can be involved, and something like that. And so I would say in those kind of processes, maybe you do need help figuring out, like, maybe it's, like, can I be this character? Yeah. Blah. And so sometimes it can be that.
Right.
And they go like, I think you should do this.
And so that can be like a, you know, team process. And then sometimes you get to do duets or group numbers. And that ends up being a bigger team process for sure. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And what would you say? So we've done cabaret together. Mm-hmm. So what would you say would be the difference between cabaret and burlesque? Mm-hmm. If somebody... I feel like I've asked you this before.
I feel like you have, and there's not like a huge difference in that, like, well, their histories are really tied together. So you might have like a cabaret show that has burlesque in it.
Yeah.
I feel like a cabaret show has more things that are different than burlesque. So you might have somebody that like juggles or does comedy or
stand up stuff. Yeah.
There's a little bit more like variety, where usually at a burlesque show, although, and this isn't even the case, because there have been shows where we've had like a magician.
Yeah.
So I do think there's kind of like a blending of the two things, but burlesque, when we talk about it, I think we're specifically referring to like the striptease, the dance, the art of like...
Would you sing and dance and striptease at the same time?
Some people do. Yes. Some people who are really brave and really talented. And we have two
there
of those
performing.
That's cool. Now, this venue is... it's behind what Soulful, where Soulful Soups used to be, right?
RIP Soulful Soups, yeah.
Yeah, what a great place. My son worked there for a long time.
You walk down the alley, there's like a secret door. Sometimes during the week, that door doesn't open unless you know the secret. But for the weekends, it's open and you can get in, and you go down a long hallway that's covered in graffiti, and you open a door, and then you go down a set of stairs and you open another door, and then you are in a bank vault.
Wow.
It's really cool. It's called Trust.
Trust. And with a V.
With a V, yes, mm-hmm. instead of
so
U.
So it looks like the Romanesque kind of
view. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're so cool. They donated the venue space for this. It's completely free for us mm-hmm. to perform down there. So all of the proceeds can go to charity.
Okay. And we're going to have to do our 20-minute after the hour stuff. But why don't we let people know before I have to break for that? Why don't we let people know what, how they can get tickets and all that good stuff?
Yeah. This Saturday, May 16th from 7 to 10 p.m., we'll be hosting Witch Hunt, a burlesque show for charity down in the basement of Trust. You can get tickets at bit.ly/witch-hunt, and that witch hunt is in all caps. Or if that's too complicated, you can go on Instagram to Muffy Manslayer or Sarah Bellum, and we have the tickets linked in our bio.
Perfect. All right. We'll be right back. I got to play a little music as I load up my stuff here for my underwriters, and we'll be right back.
Support from Eastern Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for May 15th through the 17th. Friday, Frankie Gee at AK Asian, Just Plain Darren at the Riddler, the Spokane Symphony at the Fox, House Red at Chan's Red Dragon, Eternal Jones and Dave Long at Zola, Deep Creek at Bar None Barbecue, and Bet Sun at Iron Horse in the Valley. Friday and Saturday, Bruiser at Bolo's. Saturday, Jerry Lee Raines at the Riddler, Jason Evans Cosmic Fantasy at Zola, Dave and Ray at Master's Brewhouse, the Kenny James Miller Band at Chan's Red Dragon, and Upon the Fallen, Running from Nothing, and Rogue Therapy at the Big Dipper. Sunday, Just Plain Darren at the South Hill Grill, Jason Garrett Evans and Ruth Ngeta at L'Etat Bistro, Rachel Broadhead at the Spokane Art School, Zool Bailey and Friends at Barrister, RCA and Rosie CQ at the Chameleon, and a tribute to Sarge with Who Do You Do, the Justin Priest Band, Tuck Foster, and many others at Bolo's. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Out and About on KYRS. Hey, this is Maeve, and I am talking to my friends, burlesque performers. Now, dancers, performers, what? How do you prefer to be addressed?
If I don't think somebody is okay with it, I just say performer, because I also stilt walk. And if they go, what do you do? I say... I still walk, and then I'll judge how the person is, and maybe I'll tell them burlesque. For the most part, usually people are like, what?
Yeah. But
I thought that
great.
Was just a movie. Okay, Cher.
Yeah, I don't mind either way.
Okay.
I'm like, dancer, performer, like, master of none.
I usually say performer because I'm not the world's best dancer, but I think I'm a pretty fun performer.
That's fair. Yeah, me too. I'm like, yeah. I don't know. And if some people would be like, yeah, I'm not pointing out toes enough. I
think you have the greatest pointed toes, and I have video proof.
Oh, thank you.
How did you all decide upon your burlesque stage name? I mean, that's an important thing, right? I mean, how did you do that?
It's like, it can be your whole personality on stage. Mine was, took a couple tries. I think this was my second try. I didn't like the first one that I tried on. But I just wanted something that communicated I was queer and have a penchant for violence. And most of my acts revolve around those two things. And so I was thinking through like queer media that could, I mean, if you know like drag names, they're all like puns, right?
Yeah.
So I was looking for something that could kind of be a pun. And you also have to like feel like it's you. Like if you go to introduce yourself, it has to like have your vibe to it. And I was thinking about the show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I was like, well, I could be Muffy the Manslayer. And my tag is that I kill both ways. We're like one shocker of a daywalker. So it's rife for references. And I think gives the vibe that I'm like playful and queer and violent.
Yeah, that's good. So that's, I like the little subtitle there too.
I love your name.
Miss Masticate, actually, my partner's name is Nate. So we're Nate and Kate, but he has a gamer tag, Master Nate, as like, I don't know if I can say that on radio, but anyway.
And that then is funny.
We went somewhere and played, and this is far before I really thought that I was going to like get on stage. It was just a ha-ha funny joke, but we went to laser tag for somebody's birthday. And he's like, I'm putting that in. You should put in Masticate. And I was like, oh. And I was like, that would be my stage name. But to masticate means to chew.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a little bit of my cheekiness of me, is I actually used to try and put some kind of item of food into my act. And sometimes that doesn't happen anymore just because it puts you in a box that you're like, ah, now I got to figure out a food.
But I
definitely like owed to it. I owed to it in my bio, my... I have the snack that Snipe bites back, and I also have the reason we salivate. And I added Miss because I thought Miss Masticate sounded like more
dominatrix.
Yeah, something to chew on, if you know. Yeah. That kind of stuff. So
yeah, I like that.
So that's kind of how that happened.
That's good.
Well, that was really challenging for me because one day I was performing and I was told I needed a stage name. And I was like, oh no. So I actually performed under a different name for a little bit. And that name didn't sit well because I didn't introduce myself as that and it didn't feel tied. And I am a proud, like, proclaimed Gemini, and I really like the duality of having a name. So I was like, I am going to work towards this. I am going to find an identity that I like. And I have a big raven tattoo, and I have a big moon tattoo. And I started kind of putting this together as, ooh, what if I became Ravenna Moon? But this has been really challenging because I actually really love my normal human name. And I still introduce myself as Olivia more than half the time.
Yeah.
And so I ended up putting that in all of my social media bios because I also just want to be known as a real person.
I also think
is important for me.
Well, maybe there'll be some cosmic thing where they all come together.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I I'm at a loss to figure out what that would be, but...
What would your burlesque name be, Maeve?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I think I would have to give it a lot of thought, you know? What do you think? What would it...
You could be like Maeve Fly or the Maeve Flower.
Oh, Maeve Fly. Maeve Flower, yeah.
I love that.
So, yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good, too. Yeah, no, I would definitely spend some time with that. Well, I think let's go ahead and let people know one more time about the show. And then every week I do this thing where I let people know where the protests are going to be. Uh-huh. So we'll do that after we just let people know again about the show.
You want to do the spiel, Kate?
So it is on the 16th.
This Saturday
at Trust Bar. There is a show at 7, 8, and 9, and they'll all be different shows.
Masticate's in the 7 p.m. show. Ravenna will be at 8, and I'm in the 9 p.m. show. So if you like us, maybe you should come to all three.
Yeah, and then it's just that much more for the support and the charity.
So because
the
shows don't cost money, do they? Or
they do cost money. Yeah. So it's $15 per show. So it would be
$45. Because there's a VIP thing too, right?
Yeah. And if you want a VIP ticket, I think it's like $20 or $25.
$25.
And all of that funds. We have a couple of little expenses, like we have to pay for chairs. But after that, everything goes straight to charity.
Now, VIP, what does that get you?
Front row seats. So if you really want a burlesque dancer maybe to be in your lap or play with your hair or let you help them pull their glove off, we can't make promises. But if you prefer to get, you know, a little up and close with your performers, those burlesque, those VIP tickets get you front and center. So the best seats in the house.
Okay. Very cool. All right. I should probably have some music when I read this, like the Live and Local thing does. But okay.
Bum bum.
I think that sounds too exciting for what I'm going to read. So this, everybody, you can find this on www.saveusa.med or Spokane Indivisible. You look on there. Always subscribe to their Substack. It's great writing on that. So there is a thing going on right now where people want you to sign a petition to stand with EW's Gender, Women's, and Sexuality Studies program, which they're thinking about eliminating. Just go ahead and do a search for that, EW, Gender, Women's, and Sexuality Studies, and you can sign their petition if you'd like. Get the Ice Out Wednesdays is every Wednesday, May 13th, 1 to 3 p.m. at the corner of Washington and Cataldo, which just happens to be that ice downtown field office. Spokane Visibility Brigade. You see those guys waving their signs across I-90? You can join them. Pick a bridge that goes over I-90. Thursday in the local area. Thursday, May 14th, 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. Their theme this week, Blame the Billionaires. Freedom to Vote Friday. Supreme Court guts the Voting Rights Act. There's a protest for that by the East Side Gladiators at North Hamilton Street and East Trent. That's Friday, May 15th, 4:30 p.m. Say it's Saturdays. Endless Wars. Blame the Billionaires. And that, of course, is at B.A. Clark Park. And you know where that is. Division and Empire. And Saturday, May 16th at 2 p.m. And, of course, we always have Mikey Mondays at the 3 to 4 p.m. Division in Ruby, celebrating our Michael Baumgartner. That's the median in front of Wendy's. And supporting Pride, if you'd like to get Nick the Beat's little book of poetry zine, it's called Beatitude. You can go to MaeveGriffith.com, scroll down to the Ugly Nick the Beat Project thing, and that all that money's going to go to the Spokane Pride for the Pride Festival. So that is what's going on. And now thank you for indulging me, and we are back talking about burlesque. Now it seems like burlesque is in a big like a revival of sorts, right? Because the vaudevillians was villains, but that's the only one I knew of. But then when I went on to look, there's a bunch of different folks doing it now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of production companies in town. I think we've always kind of been limited by venue is the impression I've gotten. Finding a bar or a venue that is comfortable with burlesque and will make space for you is a little tricky.
Oh, yeah.
But right now we have a ton of venue owners who want to work with people, want to work with dancers. And I think we're finally starting to see a lot of different vibes of show and type of show spring up, which is really fun. Like, you're going to get a different experience if you go to a Vertical Elements show versus a Vaudevillains show versus a GG Spot Productions show versus a Underground show.
And the Vertical Elements, that's the
folks. The church.
Yeah, at the church.
The Guardian.
Yeah, the Guardian.
I mean, Kate, you've been here like forever. Would you say there's more burlesque now than there used to be? Or
yeah, I would say that when I started, Crystal Explosion was starting Vaudevillains and stuff like that. And there weren't really any, there were maybe two. One was kind of like ending. And then I think it was really only Vaudevillains for a long time. So that's probably been since 2012, 2013.
Wow.
And then I remember being at like 2016, which was my debut with somebody. And I remember meeting, you know, like she was able to like meet people. You know, being a bartender, you meet people and you talk to people, I think, and you start to like find where the arts are and like, oh, well, I do this and this. And so the girls from Vertical Elements were doing an act for one of those first shows. And like, I think like everything just kind of grows off of like off of things that like, oh, well, I do this. Oh, well, let's do this together. That's how I got into stilt walking, is that I was in the burlesque show and then I met them and they're like, oh, we stilt walk. Come learn to stilt walk. And I learned to stilt walk. And like, then I think everybody kind of gets their ideas on like, maybe they want this different vibe. Maybe they want to do burlesque brunch that's like more like cheeky and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so some of those people have been around for a while. It's just like it expands because people want to do something different or they have different opportunities with a venue owner or something like that. Maybe they've been approached by somebody or something. And so it's just growing with popularity and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Have you been to a show, Maeve?
You know what? I have not. I just, not because I have not wanted
to go. You're scared.
Well, maybe a little bit scared. I might be a little bit scared. I don't know. Maybe. It just seems like there's something. Usually they're late at night, too. And that's the thing.
That's true. I mean, I brought my parents to a burlesque show. Luckily, I wasn't performing. Otherwise, it would have been a little strange. But I feel like it's good to show.
I guess that was a question I was going to kind of ease into. But thanks for pushing it, Muffy. What is the crowd like at these shows? Are they always kind of different? I mean, I know like when you do like a theatrical performance, it's sort of like, man, that's weird. Nobody laughed at that yesterday, but everybody's just dying today. You know, is that sort of like how it goes?
Yeah, I think night to night and also by venue or like, you know, production type, you get a different crowd. The shows that we're doing, these underground shows down Trust, it's a really small room. Your performance area is like a 9-foot by 9-foot square.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Tiny. Audience members are like right up in your face. So I think the people who come to these shows down in the vault, it's got kind of this like grimy alt feel in a very like cool goth way.
Yeah.
And also people, if you want to feel like you're right in the middle of the action, this tends to be the kind of crowd that we get. It's a lot of industry folks. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people who really like to feel like the performance is like happening in their laps.
Yeah.
And that's a different vibe than some of the other venues that I've been at. But in general, we've had nothing but lovely, supportive crowds who, it's really fun to throw dollar bills at dancers in a bank vault. Like, that's just fun to like throw your bills up in the air and see a really hot dancer.
How
like
about a
roll
safe deposit?
Yes.
Cool too.
I will take the key.
So are you all affiliated then with Vaudevillains? And is that?
We all perform with Vaudevillains. This show in particular is, it's hosted, sponsored, produced by Muffy the Manslayer and Sarah Bellum under the like underground burlesque label.
Yeah.
But we also do a ton of stuff with the vaudevillains. Yeah, so it's sort of like a grungier offshoot.
A little offshoot. And so do you ever, do people kind of go, you know, depending upon what, oh, I'd like to perform in that, but that's not my group. Do you ever go audition for a different group?
And,
or?
And I would say, like, I'd say, like, probably maybe on your idea is, like, I would say based on, like, what I know in Seattle and Portland area, because I know people who perform there, and I've, like, I think at one point in time, like, in the beginning, you'd see, like, troops. Mm-hmm. So it would be, like, the same 8 people.
Yeah.
And that would be that. And I think that we see a lot of it now, not even just in Spokane, but other places. Like, maybe you do have a lot of people that you pull from, but for the most part, you're not in a troupe mentality where, like, it's just these 8 people, and yeah, that is. Unless maybe they're doing, like, group numbers where they do group numbers and that's their thing. But you do see a lot more, like, oh, well, maybe I'm going to be in this show over here and this show in there and that stuff. And that could just depend on also like your style and vibe, because everybody kind of picks a theme too. So sometimes it's like,
well, I'm grungy, not, but I can't go be in the like classy brunch thing. Yes. You know, nobody wants like, a full face.
Or like some people are like, I'm not into nerd stuff, so I'm not probably going to do the nerdlesque show or something like that. Like sometimes it's just, that's kind of like where it goes, but it's not like a, yeah, we only use these. We generally are using from other places and, you know, just
it's been a lot
having
more
variety.
Like community rather than territorial, I feel. But yeah. Olivia, you've done stuff with a lot of people.
Yeah, I've done stuff with a lot of people. But what I was going to say is, so I came from Denver, and the first burlesque show I ever went to was actually an underground burlesque show there. And I went to a couple of them, and it was always the same cast and crew, and it was very curated. And I think that what sets apart like underground burlesque and vaudevillains is their willingness to work with new people and the opportunities. And like, I feel really thankful that I auditioned for this, because my life changed, like genuinely for the better. And I think it's just been really beautiful in that way, because not everybody is that welcoming, like especially in bigger cities. So I think it's just been really special to be here in Spokane and now part of underground burlesque and vaudevillains. It's beautiful.
Okay.
At least for me.
It kind of opened a door there. How did your life change doing burlesque?
Like I said, I think my perspectives really changed. Things that I felt like should only be behind closed doors, because I was somebody who would go to burlesque shows and be like, oh my gosh, why am I feeling flush? And I would go and I'd just be like, oh, this is such a special like feeling, but it's really neat. And like, I started seeing myself differently as not just an audience member, but as somebody who had the guts to get up there. And that is a difference, because there's a difference between like witnessing somebody and being the person to be witnessed.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a whole nother level of empowerment. Like I already feel like I was on this really good self-empowerment journey with like how I saw myself. Something I suffer with is body dysmorphia, and you wouldn't know that by looking at me. But that's something I've really dealt with. And like through burlesque, I don't know, like my last act, I've been like kind of a weirdo out there, what I've been doing. I just learned how to sew, so we're still figuring it out, y'all. I touched a rhinestone for the first time in April, and it was very scary, and I glued my whole hands together.
With hot glue?
Oh, with hot glue. Oh, and I was just ever. Like, if you could see me, I'm tapping my fingers together like a little crab. Yeah. But my last act, I actually just came out in a set of lingerie, and my act was I was Eve from like Adam and Eve, and
cool.
I had the whole fig tree situation, but I never took anything off. Instead, I put like little fig leaves on myself that I had hot glued, you know, but I just came out in lingerie, and people said to me that was really shocking. But it wasn't a shock to me. And that felt pretty cool.
Yeah. To shock people is pretty cool. Has there ever been an act where people put clothes on?
Oh yeah. It's called a reverse striptease.
Like you come out with nothing on, and basically.
And generally, like that means you've probably like given a idea that you're something else, and then you take it all off, and then you put it on, and then you're someone else. And you're like, oh, it's usually like, like
this is a
story based kind of like you're kind of like like what am I though? So
actually my very first number I took a wedding dress off and then put clothes on. I was shaking so bad. I was so nervous. I had to put these like heeled boots on. And my very first performance, my foot was shaking so bad. I like couldn't get my foot in the boot and I just had to jam it in there. It was not delicate. It was not graceful. But it's only been up from there.
Oh, that's good. Well, you know, I suspect that there are people listening to this conversation now they're saying, you know, I think I'd like to do that. How would somebody get involved with learning burlesque or whatever? You know, I guess going to a show would probably be a good first step.
I always say that going to a show, maybe curating, going to the basement show, going to other productions, and like, you know, it's nervous to go up to performers and like talk to them, even if you don't know them, but we are just people and you can definitely talk to us. So if you can, like after the show and you have time, just like ask somebody, be like, hey,
Miss Masticate,
what's the next thing?
Also teaches stage kitten classes sometimes. So there's kittens or stage hands or people who collect the tips.
I was going to ask you
They
about
pick
that.
Up your clothes after you take them off. And that's a really good, that's the thing that I started doing before
I performed.
That's
how I got started too.
So it helps you get used to people looking at you. It helps you understand like the flow of a show
and the pacing.
And if you understand like what it takes to clean up an act, it's gonna shape how you create your act. And so a good way to get involved is to take like a kitten class, which Miss Masticate teaches on occasion, so you can follow her on Instagram for information on the next one of those.
Is a great way. And then there's other ways that you can also help, but I definitely think the first thing you have to do is go to shows and try and go to different things, because you'll learn like what you're like. Because it can be intimidating to go to a basement and have somebody literally as close as we're sitting, like here watching you do the thing. Yeah. But then also there's more staged areas where they're going to be several feet away. But I think it's like,
So. Also, a little disclaimer, since I know that we've really talked about like performers, like being in your face and how close the chairs are. Like as a performer, I've always felt 100% safe. And I think that that's something important to note, because I would definitely not be doing this if I didn't feel safe to do so. And I think that that's why I feel so empowered in this group, because our audiences, they feel like they know what's going on. Like a consent brief is always given at like the beginning of these burlesque shows. And I think it keeps everybody like really in check, and it just makes the entire like vibe of it feel really good. And enthusiastic consent is important in burlesque.
Yeah. And have you ever had something kind of weird happen at these shows that you just kind of go, it doesn't even really need to be like a bad thing, but when you walked off the stage and go, wow, that was really, I hate the word impactful. that was really something that moved me, or I'm surprised by the response, or
I had a event that I did that was, and it was a great event. But I think that I was the only burlesque performer out of a bunch of like dancers that were like contemporary and ballet and stuff like that. And I had, and it was at the Glover Mansion, and it was in a room, and I was very close. There was really no lighting, and it was like I could tell if somebody was into it. And I had one where I don't think they knew what they were getting into. And it was a mom and a daughter, and the daughter was probably like 19. And I watched them just like, and just turn straight around and look at me and leave. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, good. I'm glad that you had a boundary and you left when you needed to leave. So I've had that happen. I've never had anybody like assault me and touch me when I didn't want to, but I've like definitely had moments where I'm like, oh, that struck a chord with somebody and they're uncomfortable and they're leaving. Okay. I can definitely see they're leaving.
Wow. Like,
but it's funny. Like, I think it's interesting. Yes. Yeah. And it's, and it was like, sometimes you'll go and I call them cough drops when somebody's like, and you're just like, okay, move on to the next person and find the piece of candy, not the cough drop. But
I got I had the pleasure to perform at the evening show of the Ren Faire last year in Spokane. It was called like Nightfall, and it was a nighttime. There's all these stages. Kate Mesticate was there too. But as a performer, I really like to terrorize the audience in a hot way. So sometimes like
with their consent.
Yeah. Like I'll give a lap dance. Right. But normally I would pick like an audience plant and I would let them know in advance, like, sure. Oh, I'm going to take you up on stage and I'm going to dance on you.
Yeah.
But for that show, I was like, what if I just pick somebody completely random at the top of every number, like pluck them out of the crowd, bring them up on stage. And then all of a sudden, and it's like, oh, you're getting a lap dance on stage in front of everybody at the Ren Faire. And I got really lucky the last performance of the night. There was a group of knights from the, like, I think some of them were from the Seattle Knights that like joust. And one of them was from the combat corps who does the like the Spokane combat. And I pulled one of the knights from the stage, like from the audience, put him up on the stage, danced on him. And like, it was just so fun. Like, it's fun to share a moment with somebody and be like, that was hot. That was fun. We made eye contact. Goodbye. Go into the night. Wow. Like, I made your day. I gave you the gift of being that close to me, and now we will all go our separate ways. Yes.
Never to be seen again.
And wow. I find that really impacting, to like share a moment with an audience member in that way, like a really organic moment that wasn't planned, wasn't scripted.
Yeah.
Nobody really knew it was coming. And then you just have it, you're in it, it's really fun, and then it's gone. And that was just like one really cool night of your life.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, one of the reasons that I decided to keep going, because when I actually did this act for Burlesque in October, I kind of was like, maybe it's one and done. Well, I did that act, and it was with a big gold trifold mirror, and my entire act was like...
200-pound mirror.
175 pounds, thank you. Well, no, I'm just kidding. And we had some stage kittens help me, bless them. But my whole act was about like me in the mirror, and the theme of that show was kind of like on monsters. So I was kind of like, the monster in the mirror is myself. And I had somebody come up to me afterwards, and they like crying, and they asked me if they could hug me, and I was like, sure. And like we hugged, and then they told me that this was like the first time they'd been able to like look at themselves in the mirror. Wow. Because they heard like my story. Ooh. And they felt like really encouraged to like stay and actually like be able to watch myself in the mirror, and by that they were actually able to see themselves. And that they'd struggled like with that their entire lives, and that I really touched them.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love when people come up to you, especially when they ask like, what happened? So what happened to your character afterwards? I mean, what happened? I mean, what? And you're like, I don't know.
That wasn't in the script.
Or what do you think? You know, what do you think happened? Mm. And then, well, this is what I think would happen. So you know, it starts those conversations with people because you did a good job and it was real to them, you know? Yeah. That's really cool. I have to ask, fusion belly dancing.
Yeah.
What is fusion belly dancing?
Oh my goodness. So there are many forms of belly dance. I started out with something called Fat Chance Belly Dance when I was 11 years old, which is an entirely cued and improv dance that you actually learn, like, movements together, and that anybody could do like 1/8 count of a move or like 32 counts of a move, and that dancer would know that, become the leader, and then move in a circle with it. So even if you didn't know the same language, you can actually dance the style together. Sure. Which is really wonderful. And then later in life, I ended up taking something called Rock Sharky, which is more like classical Egyptian style belly dance. And if you can see where I'm going, this fusion belly dance kind of becomes a modgepodge of all of the forms. So sometimes it can include like hip hop or contemporary.
Oh, okay. So it's other, not just all the forms of belly dancing, but all sorts of different forms of dance.
So like the specific style that I really like actually has more like pops and locks in it, and more like hip hop fusion. Like you can see a lot of different types of
weaving.
Do you
wear like a traditional belly dancing costume while you're doing that, which would seem absurd to me.
I do not.
I was going to say that would be pretty funny.
It just kind of depends, you know, like I personally have strayed away from that. Even though I really respect dancers who wear like the classical costumes and they're absolutely beautiful, I just don't feel like that's what's in my soul. Yeah. Like sometimes I like to wear black pants and a black top and rock it,
yeah,
you
sure,
know, like cool. It just depends.
Cool. Yeah. Day. Well, you know, we are just towards the end of our time. So let's tell people one last time how they can get tickets.
Come.
Yes. To Witch Hunt.
Yay. Yes, Witch Hunt. Saturday, May 16th. There are shows at 7, 8, and 9 p.m. at Trust Bar downtown. Tickets are just $15 or $25 if you want to guarantee that one of us maybe gets up in your lap. And you can get those tickets at bit.ly/witch-hunt. All caps. And if that's too complicated, you can go to Muffy Manslayer or Cerebellum or the Underground Burlesque on Instagram, and it's linked in all of those accounts.
Well, I had a whole page of questions to ask you too.
You can ask us after the show.
Well, there'll be a part two, I suppose. Well, thanks everybody for listening to Out and About today. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1, 92.3 FM, and streaming from KYRS.org. Till next time.
How to manipulate politics.
At one point,
but wait, what is politics? My dictionary says it's, quote, the science and art of forming a community effort to seek and exercise power in public affairs. Why would we try to make such a spirited, unifying, social pursuit into a rote, tedious, manipulative game? Instead, what if Democrats actually brought people together not to recite pre-cut positions but around community interests? And let's create events that people, especially newcomers, might want to go to. Mix the politics and issues with a little food, beer and wine, live music, and, well, fun. This is Jim Hightower saying, when I first ran for office, my lifelong co-conspirator Susan DeMarco came up with the perfect expression for such politicking. She said, let's put the party back in politics. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Well, how'd we get in this room? Now that we're in this room, this is John Auer.
And Ken Stringfellow.
From the Posies.
And you're listening to
KYRS Medical Lake Spokane.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
By this administration and its cohorts in some state governments to seize control of how elections are run is the latest chapter in a very long story of power being used to silence the black community.
As fallout grows from the Supreme Court's gutting of the Voting Rights Act and Republican lawmakers race to redraw congressional maps to gain more seats in Congress, we'll speak to the new NAACP General Counsel, Kristen Clark. Under President Biden, she served as Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. We'll talk about the attacks on voting rights and the weaponization of the Department of Justice under President Trump. Then two Palestine solidarity activists violently detained and held by Israel for 10 days after Israeli forces raided the Gaza-bound Global Samud flotilla on the high seas have been deported.
I left behind me thousands of Palestinian prisoners, children, women, and men. I'm sure that the treatment I face is not compared to the suffering they are going through. The testimonies we hear of their torture, of their violation on a daily basis. We have to continue mobilizing. We cannot forget the Palestinian prisoners.
We'll be joined by one of those activists, Seif Abukeche. He's in Turkey now. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Trump said Monday the U.S. ceasefire with Iran is on life support after he rejected Iran's proposal to end the war and reopen the Strait of Hormuz, calling it stupid.
After reading the piece of garbage they sent us, I didn't even finish reading it. They said, I'm not going to waste my time reading it. I would say it's one of the weakest right now. It's on life support.
Iranian officials said they're prepared to retaliate if attacked, warning the U.S. would be surprised by Iran's response. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reported